Welcome to 50 Words for Murder, the podcast where we delve into the stories behind the headlines. I'm your host, Justin, and on today's episode, this was recorded originally on YouTube. We have pulled the audio and repurposed it to the podcast so that you can take it on the go and listen to it at your convenience. If you would like to see these in real time, live, with any of the things that we're showing on the screen, you can go to YouTube and follow me at Justin on TikTok. You can also reach this YouTube channel by going to justinontiktok.com, going underneath my photo on the far right, and you'll see the YouTube link. Enjoy this episode. Hey, we are back for the third time. Third time is hopefully a charm. Y'all can tell me if you can hear me or not before we go much further into this. Those of y'all who are just tuning in for the first time y'all couldn't hear me. So let me know in the comments if y'all are able to or not. I'm seeing some woohoos, so I'm guessing that that means we finally got it to work after restarts and equipment redos. So good. That was so unnecessary. I guess it was necessary. So absurd. All right. Well, we are here today, obviously, to talk about J.P. Miller, Solid Rock Church, and this FBI investigation. But first, before we do, since you guys know that this is how I do my living, we got to pay those bills. So let me just promote a couple things real quick, and we'll go from there, I suppose. A lot of y'all know I have a podcast. Everything I'm about to show you, you can go to justinontiktok.com and you should be able to see everything. We said on the third day, let there be sound. There you go. There you go. There's a J.P. Miller joke in here somewhere, but not quite sure where. But anyways, a lot of these episodes, things like that get rolled over to the podcast. I am a little bit behind in a couple days, but definitely go to justinontiktok.com. Scroll down. You'll find it. Follow it. The next thing is I hope that the rest of you guys out there, those of y'all who are moms, had a wonderful Mother's Day, were treated like the queens that y'all are and the way that y'all deserved. If for some reason you didn't, then you need to yell at somebody. And if you aren't a mom or you have a tumultuous relationship maybe with your own mother, that's one of the reasons I wrote this book. It's called Boundaries. So if you are no contact, limited contact with a family member, it's a way to explain it to them. That's easy for them to understand, that doesn't vilify that person. You can pick that up in hardcover or softcover in the TikTok shop or at the link in my bio, justinontiktok.com. And the other book I wrote, this one was actually born out of the type of cases, unfortunately, that I cover. Surprises are okay, secrets are not. It's designed to help teach kids to use their voice, to speak up when things are happening, that adults should not be asking them to keep secrets. So you can pick this up again, both of those places as well, for anybody who wants to. And finally, if you are new here, hit that subscribe button. I'm trying to grow this channel. We're doing a lot more on YouTube, and God forbid, TikTok actually ends up going away. Most of that stuff will be being done here from here on out. So definitely hit that. Now, without further ado, let's talk about what you guys want to talk about, which is J.P. Miller and the FBI probe into him. So here's the thing. I told you guys at the beginning of this, when things started to go down, that J.P. would very likely, I would almost put money on it, would not catch charges for the death of Micah Miller. Okay, believe it's a suicide, don't believe it's a suicide, believe the reports, whatever you want to do. That being said, whether it is or it isn't, that's what it's ruled. It's going to be really hard probably to undo that, even if it was different, especially with her body being cremated. But I did also say that there probably would be some financial crimes. Look at this as like an Alec Murdoch type situation where, you know, you couldn't get him on a few of the other things, although they did get him on murder, but they got him on financial crimes. And that was the first time they were able to start really delving into him, where crimes couldn't be ignored, is when the feds got involved. Well, apparently the feds are involved with this. The feds are involved with this, not her death, but for financial crimes. Apparently they're investigating J.P. Miller, Solid Rock Church, Tom Winslow, who is his attorney. Consequently, well, I'll come back to Tom Winslow in a minute, and Tom Winslow's law firm for what we'll say is financial issues, discrepancies, challenges with the Dare to Care Africa mission. Consequently, the same mission, this is the building the school in Africa, the same mission that JP puts in the obituary for Micah when he wrote that horrible joke of an obituary. And I'm not saying that it was funny. I'm saying that it was just terrible. So don't donate to that. I've said that the entire time. Do not donate to that charity. Okay. Just don't. Now, So what's going on with this? Apparently, this investigation is not new. It's been going on for a while, according to the articles that are out there, sources that are out there. Micah was aware of this investigation. And in fact, they even said that she kept a daily journal. And it's implied in the article that it was probably related to this. You have to kind of wonder if she, you know, if she was involved, is she not involved like in that way, but like, you know, involved in reaching out to them and shedding light on the subject, you know, who knows, I guess at least at this point. But they are investigating. And as I was doing it live earlier, a stat came up about the FBI saying that they have a 97% conviction rate, meaning that if they do go after him, they do find some things that are a little bit out of the ordinary. You know, the deeper they dig, the more they're probably going to find. Then they have a 97% conviction rate. That is super, super high. Now, one thing about Micah's involvement, I'm using quotes here, involvement in this, is apparently there was a police report filed. A lot of y'all who are watching this probably are aware of this. If you're not, then I'll just tell you now. There was a police report filed, I believe it was March, I could be off, February or March, about Micah taking $1,200 from the church, stealing it, putting it into her bank account, et cetera. Basically stealing the money, embezzling the money. And that was reported. But lo and behold, again, $1,200, allegedly, shortly after her death, her bank account was credited with $1,199, $1 shy of what we were talking about. So kind of strange. You also look into the fact that, 2 months after the divorce documents, are filed back in October of 23. In December, he's moved his house into the church's name, basically sold it, if you will, to the church. He allegedly has divested himself from the Crocodile Rocks Bar and put that in his son's name. All things that are basically moving assets, hiding assets, not to mention all of the vehicles and the properties that are housed under Solid Rock Church, which would obviously give some pretty big tax breaks and tax benefits when you're talking about tons of properties, tons of vehicles, et cetera, when they're all under there. So so allegedly, you know, they post that she was taken from the church, and then the money shows up after she passes away. So very strange. So how long this investigation has been going on, who knows exactly how long JP has known he's being investigated. That I don't know either, but it could make sense as to why some assets are being moved. Maybe he didn't know until it just broke. You know, I can't make that assumption. We don't know the dates on that at this point in time. But it is interesting. And the thing is, where there's smoke, there's fire, right? As somebody who's coming in, and look, I'm obviously biased, right? I think a lot of y'all who are in here are biased too. I feel that this man is just trash. That is my opinion of him. I know a lot of y'all feel that way. I actually have stronger words, but it's YouTube and, you know, whatever. So I feel like he's trash. And I feel like when you sit back, somebody new to this case, yeah, you can look at it from the perspective of, you know, abusive husband, you know, sexual deviant, hiding under God, you know, as a pastor. I think that that's really easy to see. That's what's on the surface. But I think that anybody can stand back a mile away and be like, all right, church, properties, cars, bar. These are all, like, not the properties in the car, obviously, but kind of. All of these things are cash flow. All of them can be used for, you know, ways to launder money. You know, you get money, you buy a house with it, you buy a vehicle with it, you know, it's tax-free because you're through the church. And I saw this coming a mile away. It doesn't seem like this guy does things on the up and up. So I'm not surprised that there is an FBI investigation at this point in time into this guy. And I think that there's going to be even more. Now, going back to the $1,200 the police report file that Micah allegedly stole from the church, which, I mean, I'm just going to flat out say it. I don't believe it. I don't believe that she would have been given that much access to the money of the church. Somebody like JP seems to want to control the money, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But apparently, according to the articles, she's not the only financial discrepancy that's there. There's other monies that are missing. Now, let's go back. And I said I would come back and talk about Tom Winslow, the attorney on this case. Now, Tom Winslow, my understanding, is a parishioner, part of the congregation of this church. On top of that, it is my understanding also, according to the article I got the rest of this from, that he is the person to help JP get the medical POA over Micah and file for the diagnoses, all that kind of stuff. And apparently it's been called into question the way that he had that done. Maybe it was a little bit, you know, unscrupulous or not exactly on the up and up. But apparently he has a bit of a shady past, I guess, as well. And so it calls things into question with that. So I think that with the law firm being investigated, with him being investigated, with Solid Rock investigated, I really just don't see a light at the end of the tunnel for him. And I think that, you know, you're going against financial crimes. You're trying to keep money from the federal government. You know, they're going to tack on as many charges and you're going away. You are going away for sure. And that's not even getting into the, all the stuff with the father and, you know, the challenges there with Pakistan and the schools and all this stuff that they set up to basically be a front for other things, or at least that's how it appears. Because we all know, I have to be careful what I say, because JP put out a universal for the entire existing universe that if you talk about him, he's going to send you, he's going to sue you, because cease and desist don't really work that way. But because he seems to be a litigious individual and doesn't recognize the fact that by going off of news articles, sources, public records such as arrest records and court documents, that you can't sue somebody just because you don't like them talking about you and all of the stuff is there. That being said, we have to just be careful how we talk about him. So there's a lot going on now. I do want to bring something up because a lot of people have asked me this in the live, and I had to do a quick research on exactly what's going on. But there's been a lot of rumors that JP got a new truck while all of this is going on. Okay. And allegedly this is it. And you can kind of see, here's what it said. This is through JLR. So shout out to JLR for posting this. And, you know, I know he's in South Carolina. He's on the ground doing a lot of this stuff. Some people love JLR. Some people hate JLR. Doesn't matter. He's having good coverage on this. He had good coverage during Sebastian Rogers. So take that for what it's worth. But apparently the neighbor told him that JP got a new truck and left the truck. He was driving when Micah Miller drives. So died. So basically the way it sounds like is he had a truck, which, by the way, I'm just going to say this truck on the right here, this looks like, with the exception of the wheels being a different color, this looks like my F-150, because I have an F-150 also. And I'm bringing that up because I don't have the picture up here because I just noticed this, but that means it's probably around mine's a 19, but his is probably around the same year. And to me, the grill on this truck, the one on the right, looks like a grill that you could see in the pawn shop video. I'm not making accusations. I'm just making an observation. In the pawn shop video, when she's walking in, you can kind of see through the glass doors, the grill of a truck there. So, but this is his new truck here. And apparently it's now sporting the same license plate. It's kind of hard to see. I don't know if I can zoom it in anymore. I don't think I can, but it's sporting the same license plate as the new truck, as the platinum truck. So, typically, you buy a car, you transfer the tags over. That's not a big deal. So, but he gets himself a new truck. You know, his wife just died. He's all real sad about all of, well, I guess this was right before she died, according to this. So never mind. Take that back. But he was driving the truck on the left when Micah died. That's the point. You know, he's got, I think, 29 vehicles through the church. That are through the church. Now, I'm sure that some of them are church vehicles. I'm sure that there's probably buses and vans and trailers and all sorts of stuff to do churchy stuff with. Those are probably part of it. But it's just interesting. It's an interesting observation. Something else that I want to show you, and we'll still talk about the FBI, don't worry, but something else that I kind of want to show you guys is this. I don't know if y'all have seen these text messages yet, but this text message is something that he felt was appropriate to send to the family. All right. He felt that that was appropriate to send to the family. He had another one. Let me get this one. I don't know if I can get this one pulled up. Let me see if I can share the window real quick. I didn't have it on the thing. There's another one. This one. Yeah. He sent this to the entire family. Sorry. This is the one I wanted to show y'all. This is what happens when you try to encourage someone to divorce the person they love and tell them they don't need medicine and that they're not ill when they are. Good job, Francis family. And you can see what Sierra, the sister, said, you know, F out of here. You're the reason our sister is dead. The sheer audacity that this man has, that this man possesses, that while a family is mourning, this is not a man that is mourning. This is not a man that is mourning. No matter what you want to think, no matter what you want to do, you're going to take your vengeance out on the family while they're mourning a loved one. It's disgusting how this man could even be considered a pastor at this point. Now, he's been relieved from his duties temporarily from the church that he owns, whatever. But how, if he could come back, I can't even understand. Just the sheer audacity of this text message. I mean, and there's more to it. The brother says something. I believe it's a brother that says something too. And it goes on to say after, it's easy to shift the blame when that's all you know how to do. No one told her not to take her meds. Get that through your thick skull. You drove her crazy. Simple as that. And the surgery that you wanted set her off this path. How dare you even contact us talking like this? So you never deserved her. He just has to point the finger. He can't take any blame for anything. This is a man, and again, we're going to talk about the FBI, but I just need to get on my soapbox for a moment. But this is a man who spent the length of their marriage, has spent every marriage he's had cheating on a spouse, doing something, you know, nefarious or improper. You know, he meets Micah cheating. Well, he met Micah in the church, but cheats on his wife with her. She was their babysitter. His current, you know, oh, I don't know if y'all knew this too. Not only was he the current, but the person who she married, Micah's first husband, was JP. Jeremy was JP's best friend. Real quick, I see some people in the comments asking a question about what's the surgery. I don't know what the surgery is, but I know that I saw something. And I don't know that this is it, so take this for what it's worth. But I know that I saw an article somewhere that mentioned something about breast augmentation. So I wonder if that's the surgery that they're referring to, or if that surgery actually occurred. To me, that would make sense as something that she might not have wanted to do. She might have been happy with herself. But, you know, if you have a guy that's trying to, you know, force a woman to change her body, that's, again, another form of tearing her down. So I'm going to leave this up here because I think that's worth doing. But, you know, this is a man who never has accountability. He can never do anything. And while he's, you know, he's allegedly having an affair with Susie Skinner, her husband dies. He officiates that funeral. He officiates the marriage of Jeremy and Micah. You know, while he's supposedly dating Skinner, Susie Skinner, he's sitting on a waitress. It's just, he's so vile in the things that he does. He's so vile. The optics on it bad. The only person who's affecting his reputation, it's not us talking about it, it's him. If you didn't want this to exist, JP, then perhaps you shouldn't have done what you've done. You know? But the FBI journey, that's good. I'm very, very happy for that. I think that that's a really great way, a great thing for him. And I think that there's going to be more to come because there are multiple charities, multiple properties, multiple vehicles. And I think, you know, the FBI, forensic accounting, they're damn good at what they do. So he thinks he's good, and maybe he's been good. You know, maybe there is truth to the fact that he's paid off local authorities. Maybe there's truth to the fact that he's paid off SLED. I don't know. I can't say that one way or the other. But one thing I do know is that if he has been successful in paying off authorities in the past, he's not going to be successful in paying off the FBI. That's for sure. Another thing that I kind of want to talk about are the topless photos. If y'all haven't heard about this, I don't have an article up here. I don't have the picture. Even if I had the picture, I wouldn't share it. I don't want that picture. I think it's what he did was vile again. But apparently, while going through all of this, knowing that his wife has mental health issues, according to him, he posts a picture on Facebook of Micah topless. Okay? It's sextortion, guys. That's what it is. And you can Google that word and, you know, how many people have taken their lives over it, and it's countless. And I'm not saying that's what caused this at all, but I'm just saying, again, it's just another check mark on the things that he did to her. I think it got taken down or removed or whatever the case is, but, you know, this is a woman who, aside from the adultery, because you can't ignore that, it's glaringly obvious, but aside from the adultery, which you could argue she was groomed into, you know, I'm sure that argument exists, but was a very Christian woman. I mean, when she went to take her life, she had a Bible with her. She took the Bible everywhere she went. It was very important to her. Very Christian woman. So having something like a topless photo of you displayed for the entire world to see would be something that was very challenging for somebody to deal with, I think. And the more and more that comes out, especially with the fact that, you know, what we've heard story-wise is that he was a bit of a deviant. I'm kind of catching up on a few things with this, including the FBI, because over the weekend, I didn't really make a lot of content and I didn't do any videos. But the other thing that kind of came out was his ex-wife, Allie, apparently is working with Micah's family and working with, you know, getting stuff out there. And apparently in the court documents from their divorce, she divorced because of, you know, him cheating on her. Right. But she also put in those court documents that apparently he had admitted to having affairs or inappropriate relationships, however you want to put it, with girls under the age of 16. Okay. Now I'm getting, I have a point that I'm coming up with this, and you'll see where I'm going in a second by sharing this with y'all. So now you see that he shared the topless photos. We know that he was asking Christiana, the waitress that he was hitting on right after her death, right after they separated, for inappropriate pictures. We know that there have been a couple other people have come out, women who've come out. We know that his ex-wife is speaking on it. We also know that there is a document out there from Micah's family's, I think, is originally put out, or where it originally came from the binders. And they've not spoken out. I'm going to preface this by saying they have not reached out to me asking me to take anything down or stop talking about this, but I know other creators have, and I've heard through the grapevine that might be the case. But I'm going to talk about it because I've not been told, and I think that it's important to mention. If y'all have not heard about the document out there where Micah basically had expressed or alleged that JP would force her into his truck to go pick up homeless people, homeless men, to, we'll put this very delicately, finish on her. Apparently there was one situation where he picked up a woman, thought it was a woman, turned out to be a guy, and he performed acts on this individual. And then there's also that he would satisfy himself to the dog. These are all things out there. And I'm going to, before I say this next part, I'm going to preface this also, or say this also, that if the family does want this down and you're watching this, definitely reach out to me. But I don't think that you should take it down. I think that this information needs to be very well known, because Micah is 100% the victim in this. And I think that it just shows another layer of the deviancy that he is as a person. Mike is not at fault, but I think that when you look at what he's done, what he forced people to do, you look at the underage girls, you look at the affairs through marriage, you look at the constant need for nudes and posting topless photos and all of this other stuff and stuff that hasn't even come out yet, I think that it's important to have that information out there so people truly understand where it's at. And again, this was apparently in a binder that Micah wrote. So in a journal that she kept. This comes from her. Now, here's the next thing. I'm not going to play the sermon from his funeral. A lot of y'all have seen that. It's about 20 minutes, this eulogy that he gives. In this thing, he talks about laying with Micah's body, basically. He laid with her four times, and how he tried to resurrect her. And apparently he went somewhere and saw somebody that looked like her, and it turned out to be her sister. And he was like, oh my gosh, I raised her from the dead. Things like that. And I'm making zero accusations, but my mind can't help but, well, I'm going to plant a seed regardless of, but my mind can't help but wonder. And I would love in the chat and in the comments, if you're watching this later, to put what you think on this and on any of this stuff. But this particular, when he said he got to lay with his wife four times, do we think that he just got to lay there and just be with her, be beside her and spend time with her? Or do we think that he meant something a little bit more inappropriate? So either way, whether it's just innocently laying there being with her body or something else, it's, he still thinks that he could raise her from the dead. And by the way, just a quick side note, I'm going to give y'all a fact that y'all don't want to know, ladies. If you ever look up the statistics on that type of abuse by funeral homes, y'all aren't even safe when you're dead. So that's a story for a different day. I've done videos on that. But, you know, if you ever really want to know more, go look up what happened to Marilyn Monroe's, what they believe happened to Marilyn Monroe's body. So I will digress from that topic. But it just makes you wonder, kind of. But going back to the FBI probe, which is where this started, I think this is just the beginning. I think that there could be a lot more. There's a lot of charities involved in this church. And I think that once you get forensic accountants in there, depending how far they are into this investigation, you could probably uncover a whole lot more. And I'm hoping that that's the case. This is a man who, at the end of the day, regardless whether or not he's guilty of murder, regardless of whether or not he's guilty of financial crimes, I guess that's important if he is, this is a man who, in my opinion, needs, he thinks that Micah needed help. This man needs serious, serious help on the stuff that has come out, the stuff that we know about him, what we're aware about him. He needs serious, serious help. But that's basically it. That's what I got for today. But I do want to talk to you about one more thing. I don't know if a lot of y'all remember Charlotte Senna. And I think this is important. Charlotte is a 9-year-old girl who several months ago was in New York camping with her family, was riding her bike around a trail. And she was snatched off that trail, kidnapped, you know, held for ransom, held hostage. And they eventually found her alive. They found her alive. And her assailant, basically, a monster by the name of Craig Ross Jr., ended up pleading guilty to charges, is what we'll put it. But he got, well, we'll talk more about this when they're on. But anyways, the family has not done any interviews at all regarding this event since it happened. And I have to say that I'm humbled. I spoke about this a little bit last week, that they reached out to me and they want to do an interview and they only want to do it with me. So I'm incredibly humbled by that. And I want to, obviously it's a very delicate nature because she's such a young kid. She's not going to be on there, just the family, but you know, part of what the family was talking to me about was the fact that, you know, when she Googles herself, when she gets older, she wants to see things that are more positive. So we're going to talk about stuff that's a little bit more positive on this, but they want to do an interview. So we're going to be doing that Wednesday at, I believe 12:30 Eastern time, which is 11:30, my time, central time. If any of y'all want to tune in, I will definitely make a thing, an event for that, so y'all can watch it. But, I'm very humbled by this entire, the opportunity, and we'll treat it very carefully and give Charlotte the respect that she deserves. So I want to make y'all aware of that that's happening. And then tomorrow, I have scheduled another one. I think it's going to be, I forget what time, I'll have to check, but sometime tomorrow, and I'll put the event up when I have it on here. I'll be doing another interview of a very delicate topic. I'm going to be honest with y'all. This is one that I do not want to do, but they need a voice. The family needs a voice. I have a platform to lend that. And so we're going to give it to them and y'all can learn some stuff on that. But apparently this is a story, and Charlotte's family put this person in touch with me also. Again, another delicate thing. This woman has a 2-year-old child. An FBI shows up at their house because he has images that he uploaded to Discord and somewhere else. I think maybe Snapchat, I'm not sure. But Discord at the very least. And some of those images included materials that he produced himself with his 2-year-old daughter. And so she wants to speak out about that. One of the challenges with that particular case as well is, she still has to fight for custody for her daughter, even though he's sitting in jail. So I hope that you guys will come tomorrow and support that person as well. And of course, we can have more than one live. We'll talk about Micah and any updates there. It's a story that I don't want to talk about. It's not comfortable. It's as a father, it disgusts me. But at the same time, this family needs a voice. And so they had to endure it so we can listen to it to help them, is my point. So with that said, I hope you guys will join me tomorrow. Thank you all for watching this. Again, if you are new here, definitely make sure to, where is it? There it is. If you are new here, definitely make sure to hit that subscribe button, join. Like I said, this is how I pay my bills, how I support my family. So, and again, any of the merch stuff you want, books, et cetera. If you buy a book, I will personally sign it and get it sent out to you. If you're a parent, you definitely need the surprise RK Secrets or Not. It was written to be a great tool for every parent to have to help teach your kid to use their voice. And again, you can get those just on TikTok.com or the TikTok shop. And I will see you guys probably, possibly later this evening, but if not, definitely tomorrow. But thank you all for tuning in. Thank you all for dealing with the technical difficulties, and we will talk to you all soon. Bye, guys.